Welcome to the engineer's house. This is where the engineer who was in charge of the pumping station lived with his family. It was built in 1898, a couple of years after the pumping station first opened, but it was so important for the man who was in charge of the workings of the sewage of Cambridge to be on hand in case anything went wrong, because as we know, if the engines weren't running properly, then sewage would back up into the river and catastrophe would happen. And they built him a beautiful house. We're standing here at the top of a lovely flight of stairs up from Riverside. We're standing in a porch which has three tall pillars made of steel or cast iron, probably made locally by one of the local iron foundries. And then you can go into the house, and downstairs there is a front room which was probably his office, we think. Then there was a family room, and then a scullery at the back where there would have been a copper for heating water in order to do your washing. There was a little storage area for food, which was kept very cool. There weren't fridges in those days, or not in a house like this. It's a rather strangely shaped house. We understand that it wasn't probably designed by an architect, but mainly by a surveyor. So when you go around, there are many different levels, and it's not always as logical as you would think. It's as if they meet a problem and then deal with it. But despite this, it's a very grand residence with wonderful Cambridge stock bricks, or white bricks, which were probably made locally, not very far from this site. And then there are engineering bricks, the red ones in between, which were probably brought in from the Midlands. It's got a slate roof, again, that would have been imported into the area. And the details of each room, they haven't held back money here. They've got beautiful plaster ceiling roses, architraves, lots of very intricate woodwork on the doors. So all in all, a lovely building. We don't know quite how it was used, so for us coming into this quite blank canvas and trying to excavate it and understand how the family and the engineer would have used it is quite exciting. So up the stairs, it's a very fine staircase. You come to a rather small room, very simple. It has a kind of mantelpiece, but no fireplace. And we were thinking, who would have been in a room that's this simple? And we assume that perhaps it was a servant who would not have had such a beautiful room. Then up the stairs a little bit further, there's a bedroom which we thought perhaps was the master bedroom where the engineer and his wife would have lived. And it looks out over Riverside. There's a beautiful view. Unlike a lot of houses of this time, it's got casement windows rather than the box frame sash windows which people who know Cambridge and late Victorian Cambridge and a lot of the houses. A very wide landing then leads down to a bathroom, which all mod cons for the modern engineer. It's rather strange, you have to take a step down to it, and also the bathroom is above the porch. It sticks out over the porch. But in there we have a bath, a wash basin and a loo, so everything that they would need. And finally, there's a lovely large bedroom which looks out over the back garden. Intriguingly, its window is very, very low, and we're not entirely sure why it was put like this, because if you stood up, you would be visible to the populace of Cambridge. Except, of course, there was no Cambridge much on the back garden there. It was a very lively and industrial part of town, but there weren't streets of people opposite you. This rear bedroom has suffered from a fire. Before the museum took the house over, it was empty for a while, and it suffered an arson attack. It looks almost as if someone had set light to a bed which had smouldered and then just gone straight through the floor. So we've got a bed-shaped hole. It's going to be a problem for us to put right, but it's also thrown open for us the construction methods. So we can see that the ceiling was made out of joists, and then there was lath and plaster over it. And also we can look up into the roof space and see what was up there. So even for historians, even minor tragedies can be exciting views into other ways of into the past.
And the back garden's quite large.
It's a massive back garden they have here. Well, the front garden is quite extensive, but it's on a level. I think the whole house was built on built-up land. In fact, surprisingly, there's not as many cracks as you would expect in the construction, considering what it's sitting on, which might be all sorts of strange things down there. But the garden is very, very large. It has, on one side, it's bordered by the wall to the gasworks, because you have to remember that this little house was completely overshadowed by the gasworks, which were next door on Newmarket Road. Big, great big gas holders. But you've got a big garden. You've got three apple trees in it. So we think that they probably dated back to the time when the engineers were living here. So they grew their own apples. We're not entirely sure what they would have been there. We've got some pictures from the 1930s which show that there was a hedge between the pumping station house and the engineer's house and the pumping station. But you can see through. You can see this chimney looming over the house. We've got a wedding picture in the garden where one of the engineer's family got married and they had a party in the garden. But it seems quite simple, perhaps laid to lawn. It has also been suggested that they would have probably grown some of their own food in it because it's so ample. Although that said, I'd have been worried about eating anything that was grown here because the soil probably would have been contaminated. If you imagine, we've got rubbish and sewage and gas. Not that the sewage would have been leaking, but there was a lot of industry happening in this area and perhaps stuff that was planted in the soil might not have been all that healthy, but I don't know.